Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. A little better. Okay. There is coffee in the back if you need some caffeine. If you need to wake up. I know it's a holiday, but hey, come on. We're in church. Amen? Well, if you have your Bibles, I'll go ahead and give you a head start. A couple scriptures we need to look at today. You can look in Acts chapter 1, have a finger there, and then in John chapter 15. Those will be our primary texts. We'll text this morning. We'll be diving back and forth a little bit between other scripture, but that's our primary. So John chapter 15, Acts chapter 1. So if you could keep a couple fingers there, and we'll be good to go here in just a moment. For 20 weeks, today is the 20th week. Can you believe that? We've been going through this book together right here, What a Disciple Does. And what we have here in this book, it highlights the core values of our church, Island Church. Abide, which is abiding, connecting, investing, and going. I like this. I did that today. Isn't that pretty good? You like that? All right. This is the heart of our discipleship strategy. Abide, connect, invest, and go. This is what we do. This is how we grow into a meaningful, maturing relationship with Jesus Christ. The kind of relationship, catch this is important, that transforms you from the inside out. So it is no longer you that is living, but it's Christ that's alive in you. Amen? Come on, guys, wake up. I'm awake. Amen. There you go. Here's the problem. For most Christians, though, we've been aiming at the wrong target. We've been aiming at the wrong target for many years. It's been the wrong target, and the church in general has been really good at driving people and keeping them busy with church activity. But we failed at making disciples that make disciples. There's a lot of people attaching Christian to their personal descriptor. Yet, they lack love and kindness, grace and mercy. They live sometimes unrepented lives. They might be filled with pride. They seek after praise from other people instead of praising our Lord and Savior. They have hard hearts. They even sometimes disregard God's word. And sometimes there's no evidence of transformation in their lives. Life change. There is a lot of spiritual activity, but there is no spiritual maturity. I want you to catch what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You should have turned there already. But listen to what it says. It says, but catch these words. It says, You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. It says you will do these things according to God's power residing inside of you. And we began this year with a simple question. You guys remember what that question was? Where is God taking us in 2026? Where is he taking you in 2026? What does God desire to do with this church? Where does God want to take you? And to answer that question, we have to be aiming at the right target. We have to be aiming at the right target. We know that target involves having a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus. That's number one, meaning that you and I are having daily alone time with Jesus. We're having daily alone time in his word. If we don't do that, then something else will get our attention. Amen? I mean, you agree with that? Listen, the plan of salvation is really simple. It really is. It's simply this, that each of us, once we are justified in Christ, continue on this journey of sanctification. What does sanctification mean for us, just to break it down in layman's terms? That we are becoming more and more like Christ, that we are setting ourselves apart for him, that because he has said he is holy, we should also be holy. that every day that passes, we, you and me, become more and more in the likeness of Jesus. And you know where that starts? It starts with true repentance. It starts with repentance. Repentance is not accepting Jesus into your heart. We like that, don't we? That sounds nice. It gives us the warms and fuzzies, right? But that's not where it starts. It starts when you believe into Jesus as Lord. As Lord. That means that you realize that without Christ, you would be facing a Christless eternity in hell. Without Christ, you would have no hope. Without Christ, you would still be locked into sin and you would still be headed straight to death. You come to realize that you need him. He's your only hope. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Period. That is where it starts. And now you must surrender your life, your hopes, your dreams, your everything. And you're doing Luke 29, what he says, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. And that is the point at which justification takes place in your life. And you've been justified in Christ. That happens once and only. It's a one-time event. And after that, now it's sanctification. Now it's being transformed. It's living your life. And sure, it's like this. I know it's like that for most of us, right? It's not straight up. I mean, we're going bobbling up and down all the time. But we must continue. We must press in because of what Christ has done for us. And sadly, I think that there are many people who claim Christianity, who claim to be Christ followers, but do not know Jesus personally. They don't come under his lordship. And there's a big difference between having a Savior and having a Lord. How we know these folks might not be there is because what is important to Jesus is not important to them. Did you hear what I said? What is important to Jesus is not important to them. We can't claim Christ if his heart is not on our heart. If his mind is not on our mind. If what's important to him is not important to us. The Great Commission is not a great suggestion. It's the great commandment. And next to abiding in Jesus, which simply is this, being with Jesus. Being with Jesus, we're commanded to go tell the world about him and tell them to and teach them everything that he has taught us. In Mark chapter 3, I just want you to catch this. Verse 13 and 14, supporting verse here, is speaking of Jesus. And it says, he went up on the mountain, and listen to this, and he called those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed the 12. They were named the apostles so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. You know, one of the reasons that we have a hard time recognizing the mission field that's around us and going into all the world, starting right here where we live and making disciples, it's because we're not being with Jesus. We're not being with Jesus. And not just on Sunday, but every day. Every day we need to be with Jesus. That scripture says, so they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. And you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. That's not what preaching means in this context. The original, the Greek, it breaks down to this. It breaks down to go and tell others about Jesus publicly. It's not standing on a pulpit. It's not standing on a platform or a soapbox. It just means go out into your everyday lives and tell Jesus, tell people about Jesus publicly. That's what it means. That's what's important to him, and it should be important to us. Those men, those disciples, they spent time with Jesus. He was with them. He was abiding with them. That's what the Bible says. He was being with them. And after having spent time with Jesus, they would go out. They couldn't help but go out and tell people about Jesus. They shared their faith because he abided with them. And speaking of abiding, let's look at John chapter 15, that passage I asked you to turn to. It's on the screens as well. This is what Jesus said, starting at verse 4. Listen to this. This is beautiful. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide. You are being with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me," Jesus says, "you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father God has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." Amen. Let's stop and pray. Father, I just ask you this morning, Lord God, to open our hearts, our minds, our spirits to this word, that we would not neglect, Lord God, not neglect what you have called every person who would call themselves a Christ follower to do. That this morning, Lord God, we would hear your word and we would so be compelled, Lord God, not out of obligation, but out of love for you, out of abiding with you, out of being with you, Lord God, to tell the world about you. And I pray this morning, as I always say, Lord, let these not be my words, Lord, let them be your words. I don't want anyone in here to have Paul revelation. I want them to have God revelation. And so let me get out of your way, Lord, so that you can speak and be heard and we be moved in Christ's name. And we all agreed and said, amen and amen and amen. I want us to focus on verse 8 of John chapter 15. Verse 8, let's look at that together. It says, "By this my Father is glorified," right? "And that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." This is how God is glorified. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a mission field. And from that mission field, you are to bear much fruit if you are a disciple of Jesus. What a disciple does. It's right there. And the thing is, while we have many opportunities to go on mission trips abroad, your mission field is not across the ocean. Your mission field is right where you live, where you work, where you shop, where you seek entertainment, where you play, where you frequent. Evangelism should be on the heart of every person who has been saved by grace from their sin and hell through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that grace given, that love displayed, oh my goodness, it should drive us to want to make Jesus known to every person that we encounter day in and day out. If you have repented of your sin and you have believed into Jesus by faith, you have been freed from sin, you have been saved from hell, why not tell somebody else about that? Amen? A church planner that we're working with recently said this about evangelism. He said, "Evangelism is always on my heart. It's always on my mind. It's not something that is turned off. I always look for opportunities to share my faith and to share what Jesus has done in my life." Yes, while we should be concerned with the nations, we should. And that's why we support so many international mission funds, IMB, churches in Honduras. We do those things. That's important to us. And we should go on mission trips. Amen? But every day while we live where we are, we should be recognizing the mission field that's all around us, that's right in front of us. We need to look around. Hey, look around. In John 4, verse 35, Jesus said, hey, look up. See that the fields are white and ready for harvest. He said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. You see, the real problem for us, and this is true, we're gonna go through this and you go, whoa. He's right. We got blind spots. How many of you know we have blind spots? How many of you know it? We got blind spots in our lives. And one of them is right in this area of our daily missions. We have blind spots. It's so easy to overlook the mission field that's right in front of us in our everyday lives because of culture, because of routine, because of personal blind spots. Man, it's easy to associate missions just exclusively with getting on a plane or a boat and traveling to a foreign nation. And what that does is it causes us to miss the opportunities that are right outside our doorstep. Here's the number one blind spot we have. We have geographical blind spots. We have a tendency to believe that missionary work only happens abroad, overseas. And when that's the case, what that does is it leads us to ignore the spiritual needs that are right in front of us in our neighborhoods, in our streets, in our workplaces. It's easy to care for the ends of the earth. Yeah, it is. By taking a week or two and traveling to another nation and witnessing to people that you meet for the first time and people you'll never see again. Why is it so hard to talk to the people we see every day? It's a valid question, right? Why is it so hard to tell them about Jesus? What will they think about me? Will they think I'm a Jesus freak? Who cares? I'd rather they think that of me than stand before God one day and say, hey, what did you do with my son? I was scared people wouldn't receive it, so I didn't say anything. There are people living on your street, people that you work with at your workplace, people that you see with the places that you frequent who are far from God. And we're probably going, man, they really need Jesus. Well, tell them about Jesus. Amen? Oh, no, that's too uncomfortable, Pastor. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. It's not you that's doing it. It's Jesus. Another blind spot is routine blind spot. Oh, this is going to get us where it hurts. This is where we look at all of our daily activities as just, you know, normal routine and, you know, grocery shopping, going to the P.O. box, you know, dropping the kids off at school, seeing the grandkids, taking the kids to sporting game events at night in the afternoon, eating out, all those things that we do. We just look at that as normal, everyday kind of errands, activity that we usually do, rather than moments, listen to me, opportunities to connect with people, to share our faith, to turn the conversations toward the gospel. And we miss it. We miss it. When's the last time that you offered to pray for your server when you were at a restaurant? Or maybe included them in your prayer? When's the last time when you were at the checkout counter, you looked at the checker and you said, hey, how can I pray for you today? Those are easy ways, and there are many more, to begin to just have conversations that turn toward the gospel. I can't help but think of Charles Hughes, who one of the deacons of our last church, who, man, was in church forever, but man, when we began to preach evangelism, he just grabbed it. He's like, this is awesome. And one day he was at Dick's Sporting Goods, he was in line, and he was buying something, and the man in front of him, his card was kept on declining. And he's sitting there in line, and man's card kept on declining. And finally, the man turns around, looks at Charles, and he says, I am so sorry. I apologize for the wait. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, but I'm sorry. And Charles said, it's okay. Take your time. Finally got it resolved. The man turned around and looked at him and said, thank you for just being so patient. He goes, I just got to be honest with you. If this was me 30 years ago, I would tell you, get out of the way. get out of here. I need to get, just, you're declining, get out of the way. He says, but that's not who I am anymore because of what Jesus has done in my life. You see, he told his story and he turned the conversation to the gospel. There are a lot of ways for us to spark conversations that can be turned toward the gospel. Then there's the comfort blind spot. This is when we stick only to Christian social circles. We only hang out with other brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to embarrass Abby in a minute, but I'm going to share it, and she's going to be okay. And what this does is it prevents us from building relationships with people who are far from God. Some Christian says, well, wait a minute, Pastor, we're not supposed to hang out with those people. I remember years ago, I was working at I won't say the name of the place because we're being recorded, but I was working at a place where there was a lot of secular activity taking place, but it's just the nature of where it was. It was a retail business, but the lifestyles of the people that lived there was very different. And I remember getting the job, and I was youth pastoring at the time with the church and bivocational, and people at church were like, I can't believe you took a job there. What are you doing? Didn't you know those people? I'm like, well, they're like those people that you work with at your job too, because we're all sinful. Don't categorize sin. Sin is sin. And you know what? I'm going to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ. Then you should be doing the same thing at your workplace too. While Abby was at ECU, for example, she went to a certain Christian faith group to hang out, to try to build relationships. She was also at the same time making relationships with people who are far from God. I'm proud of my kids because they're not afraid or ashamed of the gospel. And members of that faith group saw her hanging out with those people. I said, what are you doing? Don't you know how they live and that they're going to hell? You shouldn't be hanging out with them. I'm being honest with you guys. This happens. This is not how we should live our lives. And you know what? As a result of that, she was a little ostracized from that group. But let me just say this. The whole point of having both relationships was exactly what the gospel is all about. Go into all the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. And I got to say, it was interesting when those who were far from God came to realize that she was a Christian. The first thing they said, well, everyone else I've ever encountered as Christians has always treated me badly and poorly and said, you need to change your life. And she says, well, I may not agree with your life, but I still am going to invest in you. It makes a difference. I'm still going to love you. See, how can she share Jesus before people know who she is and then see Jesus in her? The same should be true of you and me. Amen? And speaking of my kids, which, by the way, I'm proud of, let me say something. I heard one of the best things I've heard in a long time from someone, a commentator the other day, speaking of kids today, and they said this, it's not my job to get my kids into Harvard. It's my job to get my kids into heaven. It's my job not to let them love soccer or basketball or whatever collegiate sport they want to go after, but to love Jesus. Church, it's easy to be like everyone else. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Amen? Be like Jesus. Another comfort blind spot is when we prioritize our personal safety. I don't know if those people are going to hurt me. You know, we prioritize our ease. You know, well, that's just hard. I don't want to go out and have to do that. You know, we have cultural conformity over actively sharing our faith with others. And I get it. Stepping out in faith to share your faith is a scary thing. I completely get it. But when you make that a practice, like that church planner who says it's never turned off, it's just something I do. It becomes easier and easier. And you have to remember, You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So it's not your power, it's God's power. We also live in a world with so many pluralistic societies that it makes it fearful. It makes it so intimidating for us, you know, to reach out to somebody who might have a differing worldview than we do. That makes it difficult to approach outsiders, non-believers, with empathy, doesn't it? But we must. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, here it is, do it with gentleness and respect. We have the only hope that the world needs. We have the cure for the second death, which is hell. We have it in Christ Jesus. The gospel, listen to me this morning, has saved us. And if we preach that gospel to ourselves regularly, we will preach it to others regularly. And I think, listen to this morning, I think this is the true test of salvation. This is the true test of salvation, when we fully understand the weight of what God has done for us through Christ Jesus on the cross. That we have been saved from sin and death. We have been saved from an eternal hell. And hear this thing right here. We did nothing. We bring nothing. It's all God. It's all God through Jesus Christ. And that is something that a saved person doesn't take for granted. That is something that a saved person doesn't keep as a secret. They share it. They tell others about it. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did it while we were still sinners. There's no guarantee that you would say, I'm going to change. He still did it. Man, I don't know if that overwhelms you like it overwhelms me. God, Jesus on the cross, almost 2,000 years ago, dying for the sin of the world, past, present, and future. And still doing it. Knowing that many would still reject him. That's love, folks. That's love. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says this. It says, preach the word. Tell others about Jesus. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That's important. Another blind spot that many of us face is the professional blind spot. This is where we separate our faith from our work, where we think only as work as a paycheck. It's supporting our family. I just do that. I go in, keep my nose down, do what I got to do, and go home and repeat that however many days a week you work. And you know what? We need to view that as a primary place for ministry and to show others what ethical leadership looks like. We miss a lot of opportunities to share our faith in real practical ways for others to see and hear at work. We really do. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, this is what it says. It says, oh, catch this. Catch that first word. What's it say? Say it with me. Say what? Whatever. Didn't say just here, or maybe just from Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Or outside of work. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. I want you to catch what it's about to say. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive an inheritance as your reward. Here it is. You are serving the Lord Jesus. Catch that. You're serving who? the Lord Jesus. If the Lord Jesus is the Lord of your life, he's more important than your boss. He's more important than your supervisor. He's more important than the president, the vice president, the CFO, the CEO, whoever it might be. He is the Lord of your life. Whatever you do, work as if you work unto the Lord. Man, when's the last time I preached, man? Because I'm on fire this morning. I could preach. You guys bring your bucket of chicken. You bring something, because we're going to go crazy this morning. Man. And finally, this one's going to, everybody get ready for your toes to be stepped on. And you don't get mad at me. I'm going to say that. Don't get mad at me. I am just the messenger. Okay? If you're mad, you're mad at the Lord. Because this final blind spot is one that has taken hold of more Christians in America than I can think of. And that is the ideological blind spot. This is where Christians, we allow politics, we allow political, cultural, and racial differences to create walls and barriers. When we view people of differing views and beliefs, we look at them more as adversaries, people we'd rather argue with than individuals that we need to share the love of Christ with. Ouch. It's true, right? You know, we have to be careful as Christ followers that we do not mistakenly allow our political party or political figures to represent God's power. We can't forget that our primary identity is as citizens of heaven. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a sojourner, and I'm looking for a city a city that is built by the hands of God, not by the hands of man. Now, that doesn't mean I don't participate in my civic duty while I'm here. Responsibly, I do that. But I understand I am a Christ follower first. And listen, so often, man, we get our mission field priorities so wrong. We allow political opinion to cause arguments within the church that fracture the unity of the church. I've got news for you. Debating temporary cultural issues distracts from the eternal mission of making disciples. I got news for you. The devil has created a lot of distractions to keep Christians from the work of the Great Commission. Man, I'm not even going to say it. I'll leave it alone. What I have done for you this morning is I've outlined normal, everyday blind spots that keep us as followers of Jesus Christ from sharing our faith with other people. So the question now you're probably asking is, okay, great, Pastor. What do we do? What do we do? Well, first and foremost, if you're a Christ follower, we need to abide in Christ. We need to be with Christ every day. We need to meditate on his word day and night. We need to let it shape our words, our actions, how we live and what we do. We need to connect with other followers of Jesus Christ. And as we're growing and abiding in Christ daily, we grow together as the body of Christ, serving the Lord together. We need to invest in his church, in his ministry, in eternal activity. And then we need to go and make disciples, teaching them everything that Jesus has commanded us. That's what we do. That is our discipleship strategy. It's not hard, is it? It's really practical. And I know I've made it sound really easy, but here's the thing. If you are born again, saved by faith, a follower of Jesus Christ, this is what Jesus says about you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus says about you. So it's really not that hard because it's God doing the work in us. And when you receive God's power, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you will be Jesus's witnesses. Where? Well, in your Jerusalem. Where's that? That's your neighborhood. That's the street you live on. That's the city, the town that you live in. That might be Emerald Isle. It might be Cape Sea. It might be Cedar Point. It might be Newport. It might be Swansboro. For some of you, it's Huber. For some of you, it's Moorhead. Amen. You're witnessing Jesus right there where you live, sharing your faith with the people that are right around you. And all you have to do is look around because Jesus has placed people in your life. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your servers at the places that you frequent. They know you, and because of that, they should know Jesus. Where else? Your Judea. Well, where's that? Well, that might be Jacksonville, that might be New Bern, that might be Havelock, Beaufort. You get the idea, right? The broader community. That's what it is. And you know what? We have people on the ground in those areas too. Isn't that crazy? We do. And we can join them in reaching more people in those broader communities. And I really believe that in the very near future, we're going to be planting a church in New Bern. We're going to be planting a church in Newport. And we all can be part of that because we can take periods of time to go over and support them and help them firm up that plant until it's grounded and going. Amen? And when I think about broader communities, we've got planters right now. We got planters right now in Avon, in the Outer Banks. We got a planter in Washington, east of Greenville. We got a planter in Ocean Isle. We got a planter in Apex. Amen. We could go support them. We could pray for them. And in 2027, we got two more. They're going to be planting in Bragstown and in Smithfield. Isn't that exciting? You know what we do? We join God in what he is already doing. We don't have to start something new. We don't have to start from the ground up. Well, you know, Lord, you know, we don't make the mistake of digging a hole and going, good, Lord, I see what you're doing over there, but I'm digging a hole. Come here and put some water in mine and bless it. We join him in what he's already doing. Look around you. Then there's your Samaria. This is the places nearby you that we avoid. Maybe it's the poor side of town. Maybe it's the homeless camps, the down and out, the overlooked. You know, that means that maybe we're reaching people who don't look like us, people who don't think or act like us, people that don't vote like us. Get over it for the sake of the gospel, for the glory of God. Amen? We are still called to be faithful to share our faith with all people. Even those that we might avoid, we just got to look around. And then the end of the earth. That would be those distant places, those people who we don't have immediate access to. We can go on mission trips. We can do that. We can start doing that every year if we wanted to. We can continue to give money to missionaries so that we can send them and we can have Bibles printed in their heart language so that they would come to know the gospel. Amen? We could do that. We support international missions for this very reason. Man, I would also love very soon to take a group of you to go down to Honduras and see Pastor Fidel and serve alongside him and his elders as they reach the people in the countrysides and in the mountains. When we are faithful, those blind spots, they become aware in our lives. You know, I think Christians, we need to have a healthy dose of self-awareness sometimes. I'll go, whoa, that's me he's talking about. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about you. We realize what's going on. But we should only be concerned with ourselves, right? I'm only responsible for me. And so are you. But we become aware of them. And you know what we need to do? We need to repent of our unbelief. I can't do that. Yeah, you can. because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Where? Everywhere. Basically, that's what the scripture says, everywhere. We need to be faithful to the Great Command. We need to start looking around for the people that Jesus is placing in our lives. That geographical blind spot we talked about just a few minutes ago, it will be no more, because now we're paying attention to those people who are around us, where we live day in and day out. That routine blindness that we're, blind spot we're talking about, it'll be no more, because we now look at everyday opportunities as opportunities to be able to share the gospel of people who God has placed right there in our lives. Easy proximity. We don't have to run across the street. We don't have to drive to another city. We don't have to jump on a boat and go to another country. There are people right next to us every day that need Jesus. We can use those everyday activities to spark conversations. You know, there are two of our young kids who are not here today because they're taking care of family business with their parents up in New York today. I'm talking about Jackson and Jordan. And they put all of us to shame because they go to school and they go to sports, and that's exactly what they do. They tell people about Jesus, and they actively invite kids to church. We were over at Grandpa's house that we were working on this week, all week, getting ready for him to come down from New York. And there's Jordan with papers all over the house. And I'm like, what is this? And I started looking at some, and it started saying things like, we love Jesus, come to our church. And I said, what are you doing here? She goes, I'm making advertisements for church to give out. I don't know about you, but we can learn something from them. We could have childlike faith. And by the way, I would love to fill this church up with kids. Yeah, they might be loud and they might be screaming, but I'd rather have them here than not. How about that comfort blind spot? Well, when we faithfully commit to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes upon us in power, we find our comfort in being with Christ and in his Holy Spirit. Amen? That should empower us. That should drive us to be obedient to this calling that he has placed on our lives. The Great Commission, if we're being with Jesus, we are comforted by his presence, we're empowered by his Spirit to share our faith in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us in power, the professional blind spot becomes no more, because now we work as if we work unto the Lord Jesus. And people see that, and then we see our workplace become a mission field. Years ago, got time for a quick illustration. I won't say the name of the place I worked at. It was the same place I was talking about earlier. But I had people of different lifestyles. The devil did a number on me. I was really struggling because of my faith, I was being ostracized. I did not participate in the things that the business sometimes wanted to glorify. I just wouldn't do it. And I was blackballed. And I struggled. I was looking for another job. God didn't give me another job. I prayed for a long time. God didn't give me another job. And God finally convicted my heart and said, I put you there for a reason. And it's hard. But I put you there for a reason, because there are a lot of lost people there. And God began to change my heart. I stayed there a few more years and began to have impact for the kingdom. All because I was obedient and the power, I let it work. It's not me, it was God. And I remember one man. When I left, I got lots of cards from people, but this one meant a lot to me. And Randy wrote this card, and I remember opening it up, and he wrote inside, he said, I want to thank you. I never knew what Jesus looked like. until I saw him in you. I'm not worthy of that. He says, thank you for being my rock. Seeds were planted. I don't know where they went. But this is what you need to understand. The results are not up to you. You only have to be faithful to Jesus. What's important to him should be important to you, and the rest will take care of itself. All we have to do is be faithful. The results are always up to God. And finally, listen, when God is at work in our lives and he's doing this powerful thing within us, we've submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ and to his commands, that ideological blind spot disappears. Because we no longer put people in camps. We just see how he sees. We see people who need Jesus. In John chapter 18, verse 36, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus a question, and this is how Jesus responded to him. He said, and this is how we need to think of the world as well. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world. And the same is true of anyone who has accepted Jesus into their heart. Our home, we're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. And I really believe it's very dangerous when we, as Christ followers, we place greater faith in our politics or political figures than we do on Jesus and his word. Listen, if we are not abiding daily in Christ, in his word, we will drift towards something else. Abide daily in Christ. Be with him. What I've preached and what I've shared with you this morning, listen, is not this plan that was meant for those first disciples. No, it's a plan that's meant for all disciples. That's you and that's me. It's the framework for every follower of Christ. Your mission field is all of these, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And listen, don't try to categorize stuff, because your mission field is going to be both and all of that. It's not either or, it's all of that. So think about it, look around. Look around you. Who's actually in your life? Who's actually in life? Who has God placed right in front of you? And make it simple. Maybe just choose one. One person. Start with one. Then go to another and another and another. Don't make it hard. No, I'm going to reach everybody. You know? Start with one. Be realistic. Who do you see regularly that doesn't know Jesus or doesn't know him personally? And listen, you can start every day with a prayer like this. You can say, Lord, as I go through life today, you know who I'm going to encounter. So, Lord, I pray that you would soften their hearts to the gospel. Soften their hearts to the gospel so that when you give me an opportunity to share my faith, Lord, they will hear and a seed will be planted for their salvation. It's simple. And say, I trust you, Lord, with the results. Let me be faithful to tell about you. Not that hard, is it? Every day, God places opportunities in front of you, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, where you play, where you work out, where you take your kids, where you eat, where you stop to grab a coffee. Oh my goodness, the people around you, where you live, this is your mission field. These are your people. And I would say this, pray this prayer, God, give me a desire to reach them. As I think about the gospel in my own life and what Jesus has done for me and where he has brought me out of, I want to share that with other people. I want to share that with other people. One of our first members, Shorty, you've heard me say this story before, but he passed away several years ago. In fact, it was 2017. It's hard to believe. He would always share this story with me. We have pizza and Coke at Frank's Pizza over on 24 pretty much every Wednesday. He pretty much shared this story with me every Wednesday. He says, yeah, I remember growing up, my dad, and you know, he always tell people about Jesus. Always telling people about Jesus. I remember some friends would say, why are you always telling people about Jesus? And he said, well, he said, if you had cancer and I had the cure, wouldn't you want me to tell you? And I always think of that. And we have the cure, folks. We have the cure. The people in our lives are the people that God has positioned for you to reach. And I would say, just be faithful and do the work. Do the work. Pay attention. Be intentional. Be aware. Look up and see that the fields are white and ready for harvest. Look around you. Look around you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of the gospel when we just listen and we receive. And I pray this morning, Lord, that what we have heard has compelled us to draw in to what's important to you, Lord God. What's on your heart, I pray, would be on our heart. I pray, Lord, that we would begin to look around for those that are far from you, that we can reach, that are in such close proximity, Lord God. Look for opportunities to come along someone else, Lord, who's reaching people in the broader areas of our communities. Look for those who are down and out, those that don't look like us, those that are on the other side of town that need Jesus, and we can be Jesus to them. And let us, Lord, continue to support missions, but also, Lord, begin to go on mission trips that it might change our heart and our minds for the gospel as we see it work in other people's lives in other countries. But Lord, let us get rid of the blind spots and be aware so that, Lord, we would be faithful to the great command. And it would stop being this suggestion, and instead, Lord, it would be our heart to tell others about you and what you have done for us. May you be glorified, Lord. By this, may you be glorified and be proved, Lord, that we are disciples, your disciples, when we bear much fruit. Put that desire in us, Lord. Make what's important to you important to us. And may we be obedient, Lord, as your power lives inside of us to be your witnesses to the world around us. I pray that in Jesus' name, may we be faithful. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Be faithful. Look around you and do the work. We got some announcements before we wrap up.